we first learn about birds. And from reading from Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and everything, every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day." We're told when the Christian church first teaches about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and how he was crucified, and how who this person really is, this Jesus, we're told, has come from heaven. This is God come to be with us. And we're told a few other things about him. He overcomes death for us. But one of the things Colossians 1:16 says is this: all things have been created through Jesus, the Son of God. All things have been created through him and for him. So all things means everything in the entire universe has been created through this one and for this one. So sometimes people wonder what our life's all about, and the secret or the key is to know who this Jesus is. This is our God, come to mingle among us, come to teach us, come to tell us to look at the birds, come to remind us of the beauty of the flowers. But he's come among us, but he's come also among us to die for us, to rise from the grave for us, and to tell us that the whole of the creation has got a great future. That's an important part that you and I need to know for our everyday life. One of my favourite things when our grandchildren were still in pushers, and there's another one in a pusher nowadays, but before they grew up to be 4 years of age, I used to love to take our grandchildren down to Largs Bay, down to the beach, and take some bread and some food that was suitable. Bread's pretty good. Hot chips are even better. And to throw them up into the air, and straight away, guess what came along? The seagulls. And seagulls love to hang around bread and chips. And early up, I was able to show our grandchildren, Oliver and Sophia, and say, and there was always a bossy one. You ever notice there's always at least one bossy one if you feed the seagulls, and it sort of lifts up its beak and it goes, "Ah!" And it doesn't want anyone else to get the chips except for that bossy one. So we'd always throw some out to the one a bit further away, and try and not let the bossy one get all of the... Now, I think there's something about that, an early lesson in life about human beings. There's always a bossy one. And somewhere or another, we learn that actually God's just caring not just for the bossy ones, but for all those on the edges who aren't bossy ones. One of my favourite things that I ever saw happen at primary school happened in Tasmania when we were down there. And the principal of the primary school, he had some boys, there's a couple of girls as well, but some boys who weren't very keen on schoolwork. You may have met some like that. They didn't like always being in the class, And they didn't like adding up and doing adding, and they didn't like numbers and didn't like words. That a little bit they liked them, but they wanted to be, guess where? Outside. They wanted to be outside. And the principal was having trouble. They weren't happy. And so a friend of ours had a little farm just out of Ulverston, a little place called Melinda Lodge. And she had trained in helping people who were in trouble, people who were, for some reason, very sad, things hadn't gone well in their life. And so the principal agreed that each week they would send some of the children who were having trouble at school out to Melinda Lodge at the farm. Well, they came out, and the first thing they did was they fed the chooks. Then they fed the ducks. Then they went down to the pigs and saw the pigs and gave them something. Then they went over and saw the donkey. And then they went around and saw some of the other creatures. They digged in the garden and they planted some onions and they planted some potatoes. And they did things like that, got their fingers dirty. And then at lunchtime, they came up and they learnt to bake. They put some flour and eggs and milk together. Anyway, they learned to make a cake. And they also sat down, and before they had their lunch, Rossi, who was in charge, she said she would always say grace with them. And there was one bossy child who enjoyed going there so much. When it was time for grace and the other kids started to eat before they said thanks to God, the bossy one said, "Hey, you got to wait till Rossi said grace." So they all waited and she said grace and gave thanks for the food. Some of the food, they'd even collected some of the eggs and used them to make their food. And so the children saw what was happening. They had some fruit from the fruit trees they picked and they made some jam. There were lots of blackberries in the creek and they made some blackberry jam and they ate that as well. The primary school principal at Ulverston, he said, "What have you been doing with those children?" He said, "They are so much happier. They work at school. They love coming and they always look forward to this day out on the farm." Something sometimes happens in our lives where we lose contact with the creation. And so today we're listening to Jesus' words and he wants us to reconnect with the creation. He wants us to do that. And so he says to us, "Hey, whoa, stop being too anxious, don't be too troubled." He said, "I just want you to do one thing for a minute. Look at the birds." And by that he means, I want you to look and understand something about your God by looking at the birds. And so they look at the birds, and when they look at the birds, they learn lots of lessons. We are meant to learn lots of lessons. Ian told us some lessons this morning from birds. Some are kind, some cheer you up. I once heard about a man, and there's a story written about him. He used to have lorikeets come and visit him on his property where he lived. He lived in a unit, and he used to feed them seed and honey out the front. And the lorikeets would all come in and eat the seed. And then they'd fly up into the big tree. Well, the big tree was starting to drop bits and pieces, branches, little bits of leaves all around. And some of the residents of the flat used to say, "We should get rid of that big tree." He said, "Oh, no, don't. The birds love it." Anyway, one day when he was away for a while, they all had a vote and they voted to get rid of the big tree. He wasn't there to say no. And when he came home, they chopped the big tree down. and all of his lorikeet birds had gone. And he was in deep depression. He was so sad. Every day he'd get up in the morning and there were no birds there. One day, some of his friends came and visited him in his unit. And while they were there, they learned about what had happened. They said a prayer for him that he would cheer up and not be so unhappy, and that God would do something to help him. Very soon after that prayer, two of the older lorikeets, two different colours ones, they came back and stood on his little veranda. And so he put some seed out and some honey, and the next day there were four, and the next day there were six and eight. And you know, those birds came back into his life, and his depression went away. He wasn't sad anymore. He cheered up, and he knew that God had heard his prayer, and somehow by the Spirit of God, he'd sent those two little birds back again to change his life. You may have had times when you've been out and animals have helped be a friend to you. Some of the older people over at Carinya, some of the older people that go into aged care homes don't like going into aged care homes. Who's looking forward to going into an aged care home? Not that many of us, no. However, that may happen to you one day. And one of the lovely things that happens in an aged care home when you don't really feel that happy about being there is they have some games and we come and have a worship service there. But one of the nicest things is if they buy a Labrador and they have a Labrador dog. You know, many, many people in aged care homes have been so unhappy until the Labradors arrived and come into their room and give them their hand a little lick, wag their tail. If it's a Labrador, look for some food. And that has changed. They've given the dog a bit of a pat. And that has changed their whole life. God has given us these creatures not just to be a backdrop. Now, this is one of my important points for today. You know, when we have a play at the end of the year and we do the Christmas story, we make up, we use lots of things like this. And we put a picture on there. And it's just still, it's a backdrop. That little bird's not really alive, it's just flat. It's a picture. And sometimes we think of the world we live in as if we're the only characters that are really alive and that all the rest of it is just a backdrop. That somehow or another, yeah, the birds are there and the flowers are there and the trees are there, but it's mainly about us and our worries. But what God wants to show us is that it's not just a backdrop, but he wants us to relate to and talk to and be involved with all of the creatures. The plan in the Bible you can read is to, when it says to have dominion, it means to actually kindly care for all of the creatures in this world and to be involved with them. One of the things that Jesus taught us was that the whole of the creation, look at the birds and look at the flowers, they're all there for us to engage with and to think about. So he says, consider the lilies. Think about the flowers for a moment. Have you ever been out into the dry, far north of South Australia? And I wonder if we got a picture there. Seen something like this. It's dry, it's flat, it's hot, and you're out there, and then suddenly, there, in the harshest place, in the driest place, maybe there's been no rain for some time. Maybe some rain came a month or so earlier. And up came the, what do we call this? Does any of the children know what plant? Yeah. Ebony, yeah. The stir desert pea. And so Jesus, when he says, look at the flowers, he said, you know, sometimes we worry. We like to, you know, like to have a nice dress or a nice shirt or a nice clothing. We like to do our hair and look the best we can and try and be beautiful. But God says, no, you have a look there, and God makes flowers even more beautiful than Solomon was probably, you know, people in Solomon's court, they got to wear all the best clothing. And Solomon himself, and he said, even better than Solomon, in all of his beauty and glory, with the best clothing. And I often think of the best clothing like, do you know Kate Middleton? I think she might have nearly the best clothing. She's very wealthy and she can afford the best. But Jesus said, no, even better than all the best clothing, God clothes these beautiful flowers with beauty. So he's wanting us to know that he clothes you and me with beauty. I don't know if you think of yourself as beautiful. You probably, if you've got a long nose or a, you know, a big chin or wing nut ears or something, you might think, well, I'm not very beautiful. But no, God has made you to be you. And some of us he's made, you know, kind of we think, I'd like to look like her or look like him. But he's actually made you to be you. And this is one of the things we're meant to learn by looking at all the variety. Do all the creatures look like a giraffe? I mean, some people might say, look at the big long neck on that thing. And a funny short body with a big long neck. But for a giraffe, it looks perfectly beautiful for a giraffe. And the same goes for all of God's creatures. You and I should look at the creatures and go, well, God's made me a creature, and he must think that he wants one just like this. That's part of what we're meant to learn. God made the creation for us to relate to all the creatures. I learnt from a young age to relate to dairy cows. Do you know, I had 120 dairy cows, and I knew all of their names, and I knew that every one of them behaved differently. Some were very shy, and they'd wait till the last, and if I went to round them up to come in the dairy, they'd kind of run away down the hill. But if I just wandered out near them and just looked the other way and went, da-da-da-da-da, I'm just here looking around. I'm not looking at you, but would you like to go into the dairy? They would just go quietly in, ready to get something to eat. But if I looked at them and said, come on, hurry up, they were off. So I had to learn to relate to all 120 of those cows. And then there were heifers. There were another 35 of them and another 40 little calves. And I had to remember the dog's name and the cat's name and all the creatures. But, you know, they're all different. And God teaches us to relate to everyone, every human being, and every creature in this world differently. One of my favourite stories is of a documentary that I watched fairly recently. Who's got Netflix? No, not many. Who? No. Yeah, good on you. Simsy's got Netflix. Yeah, Corny's have got Netflix. Now, if you get Netflix, I know it's a big outlay. I think it's $30 a year or something. Anyway. Oh. Anyway, if you get Netflix, you will get to watch a show on television called The Octopus, My Octopus Teacher. Anyone seen it? Ha ha, Ebony, very good. And someone else here, yeah.
Oh, these girls are both, yes, very good. So you've seen My Octopus Teacher. It is the most amazing show. A man was a filmmaker in the Kalahari Desert in South Africa. He used to go out filming these Kalahari trackers, but he got so depressed with his job, he was taking films. He thought, they enjoy the creation, they relate to all the creatures. I just film them. I'm feeling unhappy. I'm not a very good father. I'm never home for my children. So he said, I'm going to stop. He was so depressed, he stopped his work as a filmmaker. He went back to where, as a child, he used to swim in a place called False Bay in South Africa. And he used to go out swimming and diving. It was a bit dangerous, well, very dangerous, because the sea was turbulent. And you know what kelp is? Kelp. So it was a kelp forest, this seaweed growing down through. And he went out and he thought, I'm just going to go back. And he said, I'm not even going to wear a tank on my back for breathing, and I'm not going to wear a wetsuit. I just want to get in touch with the world again. So he went, practiced his diving, and down he went. And on the bottom of the ocean in this kelp area, he saw something rolled up in a ball with a whole lot of shells around it. And he thought, that's a weird ball. He went a little bit closer, and inside was an octopus. The octopus threw all the shells away. It had stuck them to itself for a protection. It threw all the shells away and swam away. Well, he was so amazed, he went back another day to see if he could see the octopus. Well, he saw the octopus hiding under a little rock reef. So he went down and had a close look, and the little eyes of the octopus came out and looked at him. He came back another day and another day and another day, until eventually the octopus started to follow him. He became friends with an octopus. He said, as I thought about this octopus, I thought, this octopus is like me. And he said the octopus started to teach him lessons about life. And he said, then I saw a stripy shark, long stripes along it, like pajamas. What sort of shark would you call that? A pajama shark, of course. So a pajama shark was swimming around, and apparently they have the best smell, and they can go and smell out any creature under a rock. And it saw the octopus, and it loves eating octopus, so it dived down, and the octopus hid under the rock and waited till the shark had nuzzled and couldn't get any, and off it went. But most days, the sharks would come around looking for the octopus. Well, this friend, Craig Foster, he would dive down and watch, and he filmed. One day, the octopus came up and gave him a great big hug. It actually came right around him and hugged him. He could not believe how amazing the octopus was. He said, I became friends with it. Then one day, he said, the shark was too fast. It came zooming in, and he just got into the rock, and the shark nuzzled in and grabbed hold of one of the tentacles. Octopus, how many would they have? 8. So now it's got 7. It ripped one off, and he thought, well, that's probably the end of that octopus. And he said, I went down and filmed the next day, and there was the octopus. It had actually gone from that area to a different place and home to recover, kind of like a hospital area. And it had one less, and it looked like it was going to die, but it stayed there and stayed there and stayed there. And he said, eventually, after 100 days, it grew another little leg. And he said it had 8 again, and it recovered. And he got to know it. It used to find him. It would come looking for him when he went diving. He said, while I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my son, and I taught him to dive. He said, I became not concerned about all my problems anymore. I just loved being in touch with this world. He kept filming. And eventually one day he saw this octopus. It was a lady. And she fell in love with a male octopus. And they had they put many arms around each other. And eventually they had many octopi. Thousands, I think it was, of these tiny little octopus went out. But when she gave birth, part of what happened to her is she lost all of her strength. She gave all of her strength to the little babies, and they went on to live. And she eventually fell down onto the bottom of the ocean, and along came Mr. Stripey Pajamas Shark and cleaned up the octopus. But he said, I still think about the octopus. I learnt so much from that octopus. He said, and now my son came to me the other day and he's learnt to dive, and in his hands he had a little baby. He said, I thought back how long ago that was probably born, and think it was probably one of her little babies. That story helped this man recover. It helped him to understand his life. And I'm recommending it to you because I enjoyed it so much. It reminded me of the beautiful world God has placed us in. In those, right at the start of the service, we sang or said about that God's made the ocean, the mysterious ocean, to remind us that God works in mysterious ways. God works in mysterious ways to bring his word to you. The most mysterious way of all that he works is that he waits for some thousands of years. He tells us that something's going to happen really big, really important. And in our world that we'd messed up, in our world that we'd brought to affect everything we'd made somehow not work as it should, he came himself, he sent his own dear son, Jesus, to live among us, to be one with us, and to teach us to look at the birds, to teach us to remember the flowers, to remember God's beauty, and to trust God, and to ask. Mostly we ask for things when we're sick. We say, can I please get better? Which is good. God loves to hear our prayers, but he also likes us to pray about everything. So Jesus came so we could talk to him about our jobs, about our work, about our school, about feeling sad, about hopes and our dreams and things we'd like to do. He wants to be involved and not just be a backdrop. God's not just a backdrop, just kind of not involved. He wants to be involved with our lives as well, and the creatures are to remind us of God's involvement with you and with me. He wants us to know Jesus, and Jesus was raised from the grave, not like that poor little octopus that got gobbled up. Jesus rose from the grave. He wasn't defeated. He himself overcame death, and he says to us and the whole creation, follow me, follow me, the best is yet to come. And he wants us to know the deep, dark mystery that he's taken away our sins on the cross. He wants us to know the great mystery of the resurrection and the age to come. Some people don't think that there'll be creatures in the age to come. They think it's just God and us in heaven on clouds, with nothing to do. How's your cloud? Oh, it's going to be a long eternity just lying here. No, God has purposed, and Paul says, the whole creation waits with eager longing. We're all waiting to see the children of God in the age to come, and we're waiting to see Jesus' resurrection and all it means for the future. One of my dear friends, his name was Dean Carter. He was 50 years of age. He got cancer, and all he could do was lie in his bed. And he said, the one thing about lying in bed with cancer is I'm reminded that Jesus is with me. He said, I just like it that he is with me. And he nominated himself. Do you know the dodo bird? It's a famous, beautiful bird that's now, what do we call the word when you don't have any anymore? Extinct. It's now extinct. Well, my friend, Dean Carter, said, I'm the president of the Dodo Preservation Society. And by that he means, I am confident that just as Jesus will resurrect me from the grave, he will resurrect the dodo as well to be part of the age to come. If that's a new thought to you, look at the birds, think about the dodo, and what the dodo's lesson may yet be for us, will yet be for us. I reckon I'm done, and you and I could talk forever on birds and creatures. May God bless you this week as you find time to stop and smell the flowers, find time to stop and relate to the creatures, and maybe even they'll send a message to you. God sometimes uses them to send us a little message and to cheer us up or even to lead us to do something new. May God add his blessing to the word today, and remember that Jesus Christ, all things have been made through him and for him. Jesus wants to relate to me. Can you say it? Yeah, I'm not one to talk you into it, but Jesus does want to relate to you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for the beautiful creatures that gather to worship you here today. We acknowledge, Lord, that our sin sometimes tries to cut you out of the picture, and we're sorry for that. Lord, we sometimes don't treat others like we should, and we're so sorry for that. And Lord, sometimes we don't even treat dogs and cats as kindly as we should. We thank you for their kindness and patience, and particularly your kindness and patience, dear Lord. May we be filled with your Spirit and so live in the world with hope now and in the age to come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.